the power gifts of the Holy Spirit, working of miracles, gifts of healing, and the gift of faith. What are they? And are they even for today? How can we access them? The Bible has a ton to say about these gifts. Let's see what it has to say. We've been discussing the person and the work of the Holy Spirit for a good while now. And for the past couple videos, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And today we're going to deal with the last three mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, which are the three power gifts. And as I've said before when talking about this, that there is a great need for the gifts of the Spirit, especially in this day and age. God wouldn't have given us these gifts. He wouldn't have given us these manifestations if we didn't need them. If we had no need for them, God wouldn't have just wasted our time by giving them to us. But since he gave them to us, there is a need for them in the church. And there wasn't a need for them back in the first century, but not a need for them today. There is a need for them just as much today as there was back then when they were first given. That's what you have to understand when you talk about these things, because many people treat the Holy Spirit and treat his manifestation and his work as something that is optional and something that, you know, we can just use when, you know, the guest preacher comes, or something that, you know, we can just give place for on Pentecost Sunday, or, you know, we'll just leave that to the Pentecostals and let them go on and be crazy with their weirdo stuff. No, the Holy Spirit is for every believer, and he doesn't discriminate. Because every believer needs his power and every believer needs his help. That's what he's called, the helper. Every believer needs his help. So we can't become people who just, you know, put him to the side and put him on the back burner or only use him for special services. We need the Holy Spirit, not just in our church, not just every Sunday, but every day of our lives. And if God has given him to us, we should make sure that we access everything that he has for us. And when talking about the gifts of the Spirit, we understand the need for them. We understand why we need them. We understand why we need discerning of spirits. We understand why we need tongues and interpretation of tongues. We understand why we need all nine of these gifts. And today I'm going to show you why we need the last three, which we call the power gifts, working of miracles, gifts of healing, and the gift of faith. So let's jump into these three gifts today. The first one I'm going to deal with today is the gift of faith. And this gift, I believe, or this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, honestly, is very needed, but it also is very misunderstood. Because people see, oh, gift of faith, so that, oh, yeah, I know what faith is, you know, and that's our crazy word of faith, people, they can keep that gift. Like, no, the gift of faith, I want you to understand first and foremost, the gift of faith is different from saving faith or the measure of faith that you've been given that you can build up. What do I mean by that? This is what I want you to understand. God, the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 3, that God has given to every believer a measure of faith. You, as a believer, have been given a measure of faith. And what you need to do, and the Bible tells you to do, is to grow that faith and strengthen that faith. How do I strengthen my faith? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can't pray for faith. People say, you know, God, give me more faith. When they have so much doubt. God, I have so much unbelief. I have so much doubt. I don't know what to do. God, give me more faith. And you have to understand that you can't pray for more faith. You can't get on your knees and beg God to give you more faith, because the Bible tells you it doesn't come that way. It doesn't come by crying. It doesn't come by begging. It doesn't come by prayer and fasting. It comes, the Bible says, by hearing the word of God. So the more time you spend in the word of God, faith comes. The more time you spend reading and listening to this word, that's where faith comes from. You don't get on your knees and pray and beg God to give you more faith. You get into the word. And many people need to spend more time around the word, because people always wonder why do I doubt God so much? Why am I, what is this unbelief? Not enough time spent in the word. Not enough time sitting under the place where faith comes from. Amen. If you want to get more faith, if you want to operate in stronger faith, you need to get into the word. You need to become a person who every day you're in the word, because you're building up your faith, you're strengthening your faith, and you are stopping doubt and unbelief from having any place in your life. Understand that. You are stopping doubt and unbelief from having any place in your life anytime you get near this word. And you're replacing that with faith. And when that stuff tries to come, nope, my faith is strong. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for unbelief, because only faith lives in this house. That's what you have to understand first and foremost. But here's the thing. Talking about the gift, this specific manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith, this is not the same as your measure of faith. This is not the same as saving faith. The faith that you use to get saved. This is not the same as that. This is a different measure. This is a different flow. Okay, so what's the difference? I want you to understand that the gift of faith does not depend on your level of faith. What do I mean by that? The gift of faith is not dependent on whether your faith is strong or whether your faith is weak, because it's independent of you. Many people call it special faith or the God kind of faith. Here's the thing. The gift of faith is unlimited. When that gift goes into manifestation, it's unlimited. And what is the purpose of this gift? To achieve the impossible. To achieve impossible feats. And the reason why it does not depend on your level of faith is because it's not your faith. It's God's faith that He imparts to you, and it goes into manifestation to help you achieve an impossible feat. And as I said, it's independent of you. You could be a person who may not have extremely strong faith, and that gift could go into manifestation, and you're out here doing the works that Jesus Christ did. You're out here achieving impossible feats. And it's like, wait, I'm not that. No, the gift of faith went into manifestation right there. And many times we need this gift, because some people may say, what's the point of the gift of faith if I have my faith and, I'm strengthening my faith? Because let me tell you something. Sometimes you need a boost, if you will. Sometimes you need a boost and you need extra help, because when the gift of faith goes into manifestation, your mind ain't saying nothing anymore. Your mind, the doubt, your flesh is not combating that, because as I said, it's not your faith. So you're not sitting there fighting, trying to put your faith into action. You're not sitting there trying to calm your mind. When that gift goes into manifestation, you're like Superman, because it's God's faith at work. It works independent of you, and it goes into manifestation to help you achieve the impossible. This is why we need the gift of faith. And as I said, it works independent of you. Let me give you some examples of this. Through scripture, many of the great, almost impossible feats that you've seen men of God perform in scripture did not happen through their own strength. It did not happen through their own power. These things that it was like you would, it just seems like you could have been in church all your life and it seemed like you could never perform that feat. How did they do it? The gift of faith went into manifestation. God came. God's faith came and help them to accomplish the impossible. Let me give you some examples of that. You see the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Any person, any natural person, If you got threatened with getting thrown into a den of lions for praying to your God, for praying to the God of Israel, you could have been in church all your life. You could have seen Jesus Christ himself. And your mind, your flesh, something would continuously tell you and try their hardest to stop you from getting into that lion's den. Something would keep you and try to keep you back from going into that lion's den. And you look at Daniel, Daniel's like, I don't care. They're like, they tried to get him thrown into the lion's den. Daniel's like, I'm still going to pray. They put out the decree and said, you can't pray to the God of Israel. Daniel opened up his window and continued to pray 3 times a day to God. And it seemed like he had no fear. It seemed like the human side of him, the flesh, wasn't even pushing back. It seemed like he had no apprehension. He just continued to do what he did. What was that? That wasn't just his faith and his strengthened faith at work. That was God's faith that also came in. God's faith that came and worked independent of him, and it helped him to accomplish the impossible. So when it got to the point where he got thrown into the lion's den, he was still unmoved. He was still unmoved. You're going to get thrown into a lion's den. You're going to get torn apart. You're going to get torn apart. Okay. All right. And the man gets thrown into the lion's den, and we know how the story ends. He doesn't get touched. He goes unharmed. The king comes back the next day and sees him perfectly fine. And the angel of the Lord shut the mouth of the lions. What was that? That was the gift of faith. That lions will tear me apart even before I hit this ground. In the natural. But when the gift of faith goes into manifestation, no, I obeyed God. I obeyed God. I continued to pray to him. I did not lay down my prayer life. I did not lay down my belief in the God of Israel. I did not lay down my consecration to him for anything. So I know that even if these people dash me into the lion's den, I'm not going to get hurt because I obeyed God. I know that God is going to be with me even in that lion's den. That's the gift of faith in operation. That was that gift in operation. And at the end, he was unhurt. And he got taken out. And his enemies that tried to get him killed, they got thrown into that same lion's den. And the Bible tells you, even before they got to the ground, they were dead. They were dead. His enemies were dead even before they hit the ground. That's what you have to understand. What was that that made Daniel just so unfearful about this situation? The gift of faith. That's what made him no fear whatsoever. Nothing that would even stop him from praying. The gift of faith. And that same faith knew that God would deliver him out of the hands of his enemies. That same faith knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God would deliver him out of the hands of every single person that is looking for his demise. Another example of this is you see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the 3 Hebrew boys in Daniel 3, I believe. Same thing. Bow down and worship the statue of the king. If you don't, you're going into a fiery furnace and you're going to turn into a charred hot dog. You're dead. You're dead meat if you don't worship. Many people. Okay, you know, I'm just, you know, God, you know my heart. You know my heart, you know, but I don't want to turn into no hot dog. I don't want to turn into a s'mores. I don't want to turn into no marshmallow. I don't want to do that. I'm just going to bow down, but my heart's not going to be it. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. God wouldn't have been pleased if they had bowed down and worshiped the idol. But when everybody else was bowing down, everybody else was bowing to the threat. Here come 3 weird, crazy boys, men, that were just like, we ain't bound down. I don't care. You could throw me into that fiery furnace. I don't care. God, and they said this, they said, God will deliver us out of that furnace. And even if he doesn't, we still ain't bound down to you. That fire did not scare them whatsoever. The threat that was behind them not bowing down did not make them fear for 1 minute. Something that could have made the natural, the regular natural person go into a frenzy and find every way to bow down without actually worshiping the statue. They didn't care. They weren't in fear. What was that? The gift of faith. And the Bible tells you that they heat up the furnace 7 times hotter, bound them up, tied them up, and threw them into the furnace. And what happened when they got thrown in? That furnace was hot. Let me tell you something. That furnace, it wasn't like, oh, you know, red. No, it was hot. And they heated it up 7 times hotter because the king was so mad that those boys wouldn't bow down. And they got thrown into the furnace. And as their enemies were throwing them into the furnace, the Bible says that flames leaped out and killed their enemies. But the 3 boys were in the furnace, and the king goes and looks, and he's like, hold on a minute. Why do I see 4 in there? Why do I see 4 in there? And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. Hold on a minute. There's somebody else in there. And they went in, no fear. And the Bible says they were just walking around. They were just walking around in the furnace. Like, you're in a 7 times hotter furnace. Many people would, well, everybody that would be thrown in there would die instantly. And you look in there and you see the 3 guys you've thrown in there just walking around, having a time, talking, and no problems, unhurt. But then you look again and there's another person in there. There's a 4th man in there. And the Bible tells you they pulled them out the furnace unhurt. Didn't smell like smoke. Nothing. Untouched. What was that? The gift of faith. The gift of faith went into operation so that even flames, even a furnace, even the threat of death did not scare them, because they knew who their God was. They were perfectly fine. And let me tell you something. When the gift of faith goes into operation, you don't bow to the plans of the enemy. You don't bow to the threats of the enemy. And this is part of the reason why the enemy does not want the gifts of the Spirit to flow and to manifest in the church today. Because guess what? If the gift of faith goes into operation, the enemy can't do nothing against you anymore. If you're a person who opens themselves up to operate in this gift of the Spirit, the enemy could threaten you with death and you still won't care. He could threaten you, you're going to die. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you out. If you don't stop preaching that gospel, you're going to get thrown in prison. If you don't stop preaching this gospel, you're going to get beheaded. Do it. Go ahead and do it. Number one, it won't work. And number two, guess what? If it doesn't work, I'm going to heaven. I ain't scared. That's all right. The enemy's threats don't work. The enemy's threats do not work when the gift of faith goes into operation. And if this gift is not in operation in our lives, in our churches, that's how you have many churches that bow to any threat of the government, any threat of the enemy, any threat of any single person that doesn't like what you're preaching about, doesn't like what you're talking about. You just bow to it. This is why you have the modern church today that does everything to please the world, that does everything to make themselves more palatable to the world. Because, well, we don't want to stir up controversy. We don't want to cause any trouble, you know. We don't want to lose our 501c3 status. We don't want to lose our charitable status. Listen here, let me tell you something. My ministry, my church, is not dependent on my status with the government. It is not dependent. Thank God for 501c3s. Thank God for your charitable status. But let me tell you something. My ministry, my well-being as a preacher of the gospel is not dependent on any of that. And they could snatch it away from me and it won't affect it. It won't affect what I do for the kingdom. It won't affect anything that the Lord has called me to. And the enemy knows that if you operate like that and you operate out of that kind of faith, then he's done. You could call his bluff every time. Anything that he tries to do against you doesn't work anymore. That is the type of faith that you need. That is the type of person that you need to become. Do not throw away the gifts of the Spirit. Do not throw away this gift of faith. Let it go into operation. Do not stop it. Do not think it was for a previous time. It is for today. We need it just as much as they needed it. And when we have it And when we possess it and when we operate in it, the enemy cannot do anything against us anymore. No plan of the enemy will work at that point. Amen. Let's jump into the next gift. The gifts of healing. Now, understand something about this gift. Jesus told us that we could go and lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And also in the book of James, it talks about if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and they anoint them with oil and their prayer and the prayer of faith will raise them up and will heal them. That's what the Bible talks about in James 5. Understand something. The gifts of healing is different from that. Not every person who gets somebody healed operates in the gifts of healing. Not every person, if you laid hands on the sick, some sick person, and you prayed for them, then they recovered. It doesn't automatically mean that, hey, I operate all the time in the gifts of healing. God has given me that gift and I operate in it. It doesn't necessarily mean that. You just obeyed. You were just obedient to what God told you to do. And because you're obedient, it happened. Understand that. You're getting somebody healed. You're obeying Jesus' command. And in faith, you're doing what he said to do. And of course it happens because you obeyed what he told you to do. Understand something. The gifts of healing is a little bit different from that. It is almost, if you will, like a supernatural endowment that the Holy Spirit gives to people to get people healed of specific diseases. So many preachers that you see operate in this gift when they had many preachers who had like healing ministries and had many people get healed in their ministries and many people even get healed of dramatic things or many preachers who had success in getting people healed of cancer. It seemed like every single person who had cancer who came into this person's meetings got healed of cancer. That's the gifts of healing in operation. Because it's on a different level. It's on another level. And God, and it seems like God has given them an endowment and a ministry of that. And God is using them in that area a lot. That's the gifts of healing in operation. So you see many preachers like Smith Wigglesworth, A.A. Allen, Brother Hagin. All those people, you could say those people operated in the gifts of healing because they had continuous, constant healings, many dramatic healings. God used them even in specific areas to get people healed a lot in. Brother Oral Roberts, many people, his son, Richard Roberts, people like that. Those are people who operate in the gifts of healing. It's constant. It's certain areas. It's continuous. Many of them are dramatic. Those are the gifts of healing in operation. We need the gifts of healing in the church today. It wasn't just for back then and then it stopped. We need the gifts of healing in operation in our churches today because there are many people who are sick. There are many people who are diseased. There's many people who need help in their physical body and they cannot get help anywhere else. This is where we need the gifts of healing to go into manifestation. People seem like they have impossible, incurable diseases. We need the gifts of healing. Your disease, it seems like you'll never get healed. The doctors gave you up. They threw you away. They said, don't worry about it. You have 2 months to live. There's a solution to that problem. Don't just give up and say, it's not going to happen. There's a solution to that problem. We see with Jesus. Jesus operated heavily in the gifts of healing. It seemed like every person who came around him, whose faith was up and who didn't have doubt and unbelief standing in the way, he got them healed with ease. He healed them all. Anybody who came to him, I'm sick with this. I have this problem. I have this incurable problem. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. The doctors gave her up. She had been to doctors and they couldn't help her. And the Bible says she had got worse and worse. And when she came around Jesus, she touched him and instantly she got healed. That's the type of healings we need today. You don't need people to come around and say, Christians to come around and say, the doctors gave me up and, I'll just go be with Jesus. If you want to go be with Jesus, okay. But let me tell you something. God has a better way many times because you don't need to die before your time. You don't need to let something that Jesus Christ broke the power off of you take you out. If you want to live, Bible said with long life, he'll satisfy you. If you want to live a long and fulfilling and full life and not be taken out before your time, there is healing power available to you. It's available to you. This work and this manifestation of the Holy Spirit is available to you today. And you need to become a person who doesn't throw that away, who does not just put it on the back burner, but let it operate in your life. Let it operate in your church. Let it operate in your ministry, because there will be many people that will be helped and that will profit from those gifts going into manifestation. And as I said, many preachers who you've seen today and throughout history who really had an emphasis of healing on their ministries, and many people who had dramatic illnesses and got healed in dramatic ways and got healed many times over, they had so many people lined up that were getting healed of sicknesses and diseases. Those were the gifts of healing in operation. God gave them an endowment. God used them mightily to get people healed. Those were the gifts of healing in operation. And as I said, many of the greats back in the healing revival 60 years ago, those were people who were used mightily in this gift. And many people knocked them, and many people said, I don't deal with that faith healing stuff and, you know, those crazy Pentecostals again. But many of the people who had stage 4 cancer, who had been given up by doctors, people who were done for, they're not saying, they're not mocking. They're not taking issue with it, because they were the ones that were going to die. And the power of God met them where they were at and healed them of their disease, healed them of their sicknesses. This is what we need. Understand that. This is what we need once again in the church. This is what you need once again in your ministry, because people will benefit and profit from it when it goes into manifestation. Let me tell you a story. There was a preacher. I talked about him before. His name was Ed Dufresne. And he said, he told a story one time. I won't tell the full story for the sake of time, but he told a story about how one time he had went to a full gospel businessmen's fellowship meeting. And he was there, and it was around the time when he was newly saved. And he went to the meeting, and as he was coming out from one of the meetings, he was in, I guess, a lobby area, and he was walking up to there. And he walked up there, and he saw a woman basically laid out on the floor. And I believe people were around her, and she was out. And he was getting ready. As I said, he was a new believer. He didn't really know about the Pentecostal experience like that. And he got ready to, like, pick up the phone and call 911. He asked, what's going on with this lady? Do we need to, like, call the ambulance or something? And somebody that was standing around her was like, she's fine. She just wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we prayed for her, and she fell out under the power, and she's speaking in tongues. And he was like, okay. He was like, okay, all right. And he said that when they said that, when that happened, he said to himself, God, I hope you don't do that. And he was about to say to me, he said, I hope you never do that to me. But he didn't get the last two words out. He said, before he got to me out, he said, a light flashed in that lobby, in that hallway, in that meeting area. And it said everybody within like a radius, when that light flashed, went out under the power of God. Everybody within like a radius around that area went out under the power of God, including him. And he said when he went out under the power, a lady who was by him went out also, but fell on top of him. And he said when he finally came to, this lady is on top of him, and she was, how should I say it? She was blessed of the Lord, if you will. She was not skinny. She was fat and flourishing. Praise the Lord. She was fat and flourishing. So he's ready to get up, but she's out. She's gonzos, and he can't get up. So he basically laid there waiting for her to get back up. And one thing he said when he was out, I forgot to tell this part, before he was when he was out, when he went out under the power, he said he saw Jesus come to him and lay his hand on his hand and put a tangible healing anointing in his hand. Laid hands on his hand and put it in his hand. And he said when he came to and when this lady finally got up, he said his hand felt like it was on fire. Now understand something. Stop right there, because some people will say, these crazy Pentecostal people, yada, 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 yada. They think, the anointing is like fire. They say they can feel the anointing. They say they got this healing anointing. I don't see that in the Bible. Let me tell you something. The anointing is not some ethereal thing. The anointing is not something that, it's just some wind and, something that's in the sky. Let me tell you something. The anointing is tangible. It can be felt. It can be experienced. That's what you have to understand. It's not just something that's some pie in the sky something. It is not a theory. It is tangible power that you can feel. How do I know that? Going back to the woman with the issue of blood. What does the Bible say happened to her? When she touched Jesus, the Bible says that she felt in her body that power going to her, and she felt in her body that she was healed. And when she touched him, a power transferred. A power transferred, and she felt she was healed. And Jesus felt that power go out of him. And that's what made him turn around and be like, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were like, "What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Everybody's around you. There's a big crowd around you. Everybody's touching you." He said, "No, not like that. Somebody touched me and I felt power go out of me." The power of God, the anointing of God, is not something that is just ethereal. It can be felt. It's tangible. So he had said that Jesus came, put that power into his hand, and he felt his hand was on fire. What's that? The anointing of God is manifesting in a way that's tangible, in a way that you can feel it. And when he got up, this lady had gotten up and she had said to him, she looked at him, she said, "Something happened to you while you was on the floor." And him being, new believer, new to this whole thing, new to the Holy Spirit and the way he moves, he had said, "Yeah, something did happen. My hand is on fire right now." The lady looked at him and said, "That's the healing power of God in your hand." And she said she had been there and she was wearing this tent dress. She was wearing a tent dress and she, as I said, she was a larger lady. She told him, she said, "I'm wearing this tent dress because I have a tumor around my midsection. I have a cancerous tumor around my midsection. And the only thing I can wear that I can fit into with this tumor is a tent dress." She told him, she said, "Lay your hands on it right now." She put her faith out there. She said, "Lay your hands on me right now and I'll be healed." And this man, who had been really new to this but had an experience with God, said, "Okay." And he laid his hands on her. And when he laid his hand on her, he said that as soon as he put his hand on her and laid hands on that tumor, it was like something popped. Something popped and that dress fell. It just fell down straight. It just fell and she was normal sized again. The lady was normal size. She got healed right then and there. What was that? The healing power of God. The gifts of healing. God gave a specific endowment to someone to get people healed of diseases and sicknesses. And he had said after that, everybody was coming around and people that were sick were just gathering around this man. And he was laying hands on people in the hallway. Out in this hallway, he was just laying hands on people. And that's what began his healing ministry. And he went on for years and years after that, laying hands on many people and had a very big emphasis on healing the sick in his ministry before he went home to be with the Lord. Let me tell you something. We need that. We need that once again. People who are getting healed, not just of the sniffles, praise God for getting healed of the common cold, because anybody who has had the cold is not great. Especially if you have a bad cold, it's inconvenient, it's not fun. But let me tell you something. Jesus did not just come for you to get healed of the sniffles. Jesus did not just come for you to get healed of a bellyache. He made his power available for you to get healed of stage 4 cancer. Something that even natural medicine cannot get you healed of, cannot cure. The power of God is available to heal you of it. Amen. Amen. That's what we need today. That's what we need. Do not throw the healing power of God in the trash. Do not put it to the side. Don't say that is not needed, because there are many people that will benefit from it. There are many people that will profit from those gifts going into manifestation. Amen. I'll tell you one more. I'll tell you a personal story about the gifts of healing. I don't think I'm going to get to the working of miracles today. And I felt like I should devote just one video to it. So, you know, I'm not going to rush myself. I'm just going to deal with the gift of faith and the gift of healing today. And then I'll deal with the working of miracles in another video. But I'll tell you a story in my personal life. Personally, when I was 8 years old, I've told this story. When I was 8 years old, the day I'd felt the call of God from I was 4 years old. From when I was four, people could see it on me. I always had that strong desire to preach the gospel from a kid. And when I was 8 years old, that's when it dramatically got confirmed in a church service. And I've told that story before, but that night, when I was in a church service and I'd got called out and the preacher who was there had confirmed the call of God on my life, that same preacher also said, the Lord said that he's putting his power, watch this, he's putting his power into your hands. And when you lay hands on people, they'll not only be touched, the power of God will not only touch them, but many people will be healed by your hands. And at 8 years old, being really the first person in my family to go into the ministry, I didn't have anybody else to be like, what does this mean? You know, how do you enter the ministry? I was very unlearned and ignorant about the ministry and answering the call of God. Even though I had a desire to do it, I didn't know what to do with it. So, you know, God had confirmed the call of God that I've been feeling for the past 4 years. And really, after that day, I kind of just put everything onto the back burner. I just put it into the back of my mind. And it was always in the back of my mind. But as time went on, things had happened, problems had came up, and I honestly started going in a different direction. And I basically said, I'm not answering the call of God. It's impossible to fulfill. I can't do it. And I basically started going in a different direction and pursuing a different career. And long story short, when I got to high school, I was in the 12th grade, and it was right before we were getting ready to apply to colleges and universities and all that stuff. The Lord spoke to me in a math class. And basically, long story short, the Lord spoke to me in a math class and basically reignited that call. And I couldn't figure out what I wanted to go into, and I basically just settled. The career path that I had chosen was basically me settling, but I never really wanted to do it. And the Lord spoke to me in that math class, and I was like, oh my gosh, it was like a new fire came onto that call, and I abandoned my career path and went into the ministry. I applied to Bible college, went and got trained up in Bible college, and then came out, and here we are today. But that was the first part of the word. The second part, about, you know, God's putting his power into your hands and, you know, this healing power, he's putting it into your hands and people will be touched and people will be healed by the power of God in your hand. And that night, the preacher said, as a sign to you, to confirm to you that this thing is true, called somebody out the crowd and said, lay your hands on that person. Lay your hands on her. I had never laid hands on anybody before. I didn't know about all this stuff. Laid my hands on the person, power got smacked the person. It was actually my mother. Power God smacked my mother, laid hands on my mother, power God hit her. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think there's something actually to this. So now I had gone into the ministry, but that second part had not really started to come to pass yet. And I basically went 3 years in the ministry without really thinking about that and really addressing it, even though that part was in the back of my mind. And I was like, you know what, whatever, when the time comes, it'll come. And basically in the beginning parts of my ministry, I was preaching on a lot of youth meetings. So there wasn't really much opportunity to lay hands on sick people. However, when I was laying hands on people, people would get touched by the power of God. And, you know, of course, people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People get touched, people get delivered. I'd seen that, but I hadn't really seen the word really start to come to pass. But I didn't think about it until earlier this year. So it was about July of this year, and I've never told this story except for probably once. I've only told it once since it happened. But it was July of this year. I was getting ready to preach a youth meeting in July. And as I was preparing, it was three nights. And as I was preparing to preach this youth meeting, I felt, as I was praying and preparing, I felt in my spirit that that word was getting ready to come to pass. That part of the word was getting ready to come to pass. I felt like in my spirit that the Lord had basically said it was getting ready to get activated within those three meetings. Within those three nights, that was getting ready to activate. So when I went to those meetings, I went and preached, and it was the second night of that meeting before I walked into the meeting. I was sitting in the car right before the service, and I was getting ready to walk in, and I felt the power of God come into my hand. I felt the power of God strongly come into my hand, and my hand felt like it was on fire, and I was like, oh God. In my natural mind, it was like, nope, that ain't it. That ain't the power of God. You're just listening to too much Brother Hagin. You're just listening to too much Oral Roberts. And you've been hearing them tell their stories about it. And now you think you're something. So I passed it off because I hadn't been looking for it. I hadn't been saying, I got the power of God and the anointing of God is in my hand. And I lay hands up. I hadn't been acting like it. I didn't think about it. But I felt the power of God come into my hand. And I pondered it. And then passed it off, sitting in the car, and kind of just put it to the back of my mind. And I walked into the service that night. I went into the service that night and preached that service. And I, at the end, was praying for people, laying hands on people, made an altar call, and was praying for people, laying hands on people. And the power of God came down strong in that service that night. And as I was laying hands on somebody and praying for somebody, I felt it come back again. And I felt it strong, like undeniable, came back again into my hand. And I recorded it. It's actually on my channel that night, that service where it actually happened, that night where it happened. And from that night onward, when I laid hands on people, it was like the power of God just smacked them in a more dramatic way than before. It was like something got added to my ministry. Something got added to me that when I laid hands on people, prayed for people, laid hands on sick people, it would get stronger. The power of God manifested in a stronger way. It was a stronger level of the anointing that would come on people when I would lay hands on them from that point forward. And also from that point forward, I had never felt the power of God manifest in my hand like that before. From that day till now, I felt it probably a handful of times after that. Anytime after that, I go to lay hands on people and the power of God is present probably for healing or something, or the power of God is present in just in a general way for that person, I feel the power of God come into my hand. Strong. I remember there was an incident a couple weeks ago. My pastor had asked me to pray for somebody who was in the hospital a couple weeks ago in a church service and called me out, asked me to pray for a church member who was in the hospital. They needed healing. I went to take the mic. The power of God came into my hand strong as I went to pray for the person. And I prayed. I said, okay, the power of God is present. I send the power of God to that church member that's in the hospital. They had fell, had an accident, and were in the hospital. A couple days later, they came out of the hospital. And they started progressing and they were healed. What was that? The power of God present to heal. Do not throw away the gifts of healing. Do not throw away these special endowments that the Lord gives to his people to accomplish a work. Because we need them. We don't just get to throw them in the trash and say, you know, they're not needed. And, you know, it's all right. We can give that to the other person. No, we need that. And people may say, you're just bluffing. You know, you're just on something. I think you're on too much Holy Ghost stuff. No. I'm at the point now in my life. I'm at the point now in my ministry where people can say whatever they want. I don't believe in that Pentecostal stuff. I don't believe in that speaking in tongues stuff. I don't believe in that healing stuff. I don't believe in that word of faith stuff. I don't believe in that faith message. I don't like when all these Pentecostals say all that stuff. Let me tell you something. The proof is in the pudding. There have been many people who have been touched by the power of God. And if you don't like it, bye. If you want to throw a hissy fit about it, bye. But if it's found in the Word of God and it's happening today, then your opinion doesn't matter. And God still heals today. God still baptizes people in the Holy Spirit today. God still touches people by His mighty power and anointing today. And if people are mad about it, let them be mad. The power of God is still present and it is still working. Amen. Amen. So don't throw these gifts away. People need to be healed. People need that gift of faith in operation. Don't throw them away. Let them manifest. Let them move. The Bible tells you, the Apostle Paul said, to covet earnestly the best gifts. Have a zeal. Have a desire for these gifts to manifest. Have a desire for them to operate in your church and in your life. And you will see much profit come when you let them operate. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to give every single person an opportunity to receive Christ who hasn't. Because as we've been talking about through this whole series on the Holy Spirit, the way you become a candidate to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to operate in these things the way God intends for it, to be able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit when He begins to move, is that you have to be saved. You have to be a believer. Because if you're unsaved and you try operating in these things, problem, problem, problem. You have to be a pure and holy vessel. You have to be somebody who has been washed in the blood of Jesus, who has been cleansed of all unrighteousness, who has confessed your sins and confessed Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the first thing you have to do before you even think about operating in these things. So I want to give you that opportunity to receive Christ right now, because He's coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. As I said, all these things are in operation today, and all these things need to be in operation so that the Word of God can be confirmed and people can be brought into the kingdom of God. And that needs to happen to you too, because Jesus is coming soon. Time is wrapping up. Things are getting ready to head towards the tribulation period. There is nothing that is holding back the return of Christ. There is nothing that's holding back the rapture of the church, which is the next prophetic event that's getting ready to happen. Don't be left behind. Do not hear the Word of God. Don't see things that are happening in the world and turn a blind eye and say, I'll put it off until tomorrow. I don't need it today. I want to live my life for a couple more days. Don't do that. Time is running out. And the return of the Lord is imminent. Nothing is holding it back. So take the opportunity that you have today to receive Christ. Let Him cleanse you of your sins. Put away sin once and for all before it destroys you, and receive Christ as Savior. And the Bible tells you that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, then you'll be saved. If you confess your sins, you believe in Jesus Christ, believe that He came to earth, died, and rose again for your sins, and gave you power over sin, guess what? You believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, the Bible tells you you'll be saved. So let me give you an opportunity to do that today. If you've come on this video and you fall into that category and there's sin in your life that you need to repent of and get rid of, let's make things right with God today and begin to walk on the path of righteousness. I want you to pray with me. And I want you to say, Heavenly Father, say this sincerely from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to sacrifice His life for my sin. I believe that He died and was raised back to life for me. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now I receive the power to live holy until you return. I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you just prayed with me and responded to God's call for salvation, I want you to now take the next step. I want to help you to begin to walk on this path of righteousness. Many people get to the point where they feel like, okay, I just got saved, but what do I do next? I want to help you with that. There's a link in the description that'll take you to a page on my website, and I want you to fill out the form there. And when you fill out that form, I'll send you some resources that will help you begin to walk on this path of righteousness and begin your walk with Christ. You don't have to walk this path alone. You have the help of the Holy Spirit, and now you also have my help. So I want to send you resources, I want to pray for you, and I want to help you to become a strong believer. So go ahead and click the link now.
God has made a way for His children to be totally liberated from the power of sin. but many Christians don't understand this. In Marlon Benjamin's book, Undefiled, he teaches that Christ put an end to sin's control and gave us the ability to resist all its temptations when they come. Order your copy now on Amazon or marlonbenjamin.net.
What's up, everybody? It's Marlon Benjamin, and I want to challenge you to consider becoming a partner with this ministry today. You know, our partners commit to praying for us continuously, and they connect their finances to this ministry on a monthly basis. You know, God has allowed us to preach some powerful services over this past year, and we have seen God demonstrate His power in mighty ways, and we have seen people get saved and come into the kingdom of God. We've also been able to expand the reach of the gospel through YouTube, the podcast, and I'm Saved, Now What?, which helps us connect to those who are being saved through our online ministry and get them on the path of righteousness and help them begin their walk with Christ. Last year, we just connected ourselves and became partners with Lester Sumrall's Feed the Hungry, and we are providing meals to those who are in need on a monthly basis. So I want you to consider, prayerfully consider, becoming a partner of this ministry today. You can click the link in the description or go to marlonbenjamin.net, hit the Give Now page, and go to the partnership page, and you can see what we're doing and become a partner today. Thank you so much, and God bless you.